Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, everybody. It's Chuck Bonner with Julie Hayden. Brand new week. Hope you enjoyed Hope Schefflin on Friday. This is the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. True straight up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Tom Tancredo on, former Congresswoman, to explain the mainstream media did not even give you all of, even touch the surface, really, of the Hamidan al-Turki, the Saudi national who was released and deported. This guy is sort of like at the center of pretty much every unsolved crime in Colorado, and we'll explain it all.
We don't disagree a lot, and certainly most of the time understand where the other person coming from, but there's nobody we disagree with more than Hamidan al-Turki.
But first, we have Ash Epp with us, Ash in America. Want to talk about a couple of things. We mentioned it last week, that Donald Trump ordered directed the Department of Justice to take all necessary steps to free Tina Peters, who he described as being held hostage.
Steel Team 6.
Yeah, by Demo, exactly. And Ash Epp, who knows something herself about not only the Tina Peters story, election integrity, but being persecuted. For trying to pursue election integrity, joined us to talk about this. And I guess we want to get to the whole Lauren Boebert, Heidi Ganahl thing. But first, Ash, I want to just get your take on and your sense of how big a deal or not a big deal is this, you know, Trump directive to the Department of Justice.
I think it's a huge deal. And it's exactly what it's going to take to get answers about what's happening in Colorado. So the prior to directing the Department of Justice to take every measure to free Tina Peters, they announced that they were going to be looking into the weaponization of government with Tina's case. This was, it feels like about a month ago. Mm-hmm. Since that happened, we've seen inside of the Colorado executive branch, Christopher Beall resign. Christopher Beall is the deputy secretary of state, pretty much ran the department. He was the head of all staff, head of all open records, veto power over all open records, kind of control the information and all of the people within the Department of State. He resigned. It was kind of a surprise. He took a sabbatical after the election and then told the clerks that he was going back to being a lawyer. We don't know exactly where he's going. I think I've told you before, Julie, hypothesis is he ends up back in the attorney general's office. That's where he came out of. In his place, they've appointed Andrew Klein, former Perkins Coie attorney, who is a Clinton guy, Obama guy, Biden guy. And he's now running our Department of State, running our elections. So as well as everything else.
Frying pan into the fire with that change.
Yeah. Yeah. So we see, you know, there's moves being made inside of the Colorado executive that appear that they're gearing up for a fight. We know that Attorney General Weiser is running for governor. Jenna Griswold was running for governor, also was slapped with some campaign finance violation stuff when she announced. And then Phil Weiser dismissed that, but now she's running for AG and not governor anymore.
Swap the Democrat, swap. It's like a shell game, which Democrat is underneath.
All those charges. Oh, you're not running for governor, huh? Yeah. Those charges.
Shocking.
Yeah, it sounds like a thing of value was exchanged. To be honest, we're not allowed to say those things because they always investigate themselves and determine that, you know, there's nothing wrong. But that's certainly what it appears. So we see a lot of moves happening here that people in a national sense maybe don't see or don't understand the significance. I think these are very significant things that we see the Colorado executive reorganizing itself in a way that really postures that they're going to be fighting the federal government. So that's the landscape. Then when you say that the Department of Justice is taking an additional step, not just investigating weaponization of government, but now it's take any necessary steps, I think that It means we're
To
gonna
me,
see
it
some change.
indicates, and who knows whether there very ever was much of an, I mean, who knows what they meant by investigation. But you're right, that was my read too. This clearly went from being in the investigative stage to Trump saying Tina Peters is innocent and we need to get her out of prison. She's a
Yeah.
political
Well, part of that is the
prisoner.
weaponization. If you look at
Right.
weaponization, you should do a deep dive into Rubenstein, who's the district attorney and the judge, and find out about their
Well, you
backgrounds
got to
and
exactly.
peccadilloes and everything else, and see whether charges against either of them is appropriate. And if either of them is, it would be a interesting day.
Well, and one thing too, I'll point out is, people will say, well, that there's state charges, he's in a state prison, so what can the federal government do? And I think we see justice systems playing kind of fast and loose this way these days, so it's not really totally clear what can happen, but I got
Well,
to
you
agree.
can look at Letitia James. She's under investigation.
Right.
They've had charges of mortgage fraud and other things brought against her. That's just purely state. I wouldn't mind seeing that with Rubenstein and with what's the name of the judge up in Mesa County?
Matthew Barrett.
Matthew Barrett.
Well, so this is all good news, and it's been a lot of people talking about it. And I texted you because I know you know so
Dear
much about
notes.
this. You know everything about this. When I was reading Lauren Boebert, Representative Lauren
Yeah.
Boebert was like, "Yay, my good friend Tina Peters." It's like, what the frick? I told her I felt like throwing up in my mouth. It's like Lauren
And same with Heidi Ganahl.
Ganahl. I mean, let's start with Lauren Boebert. Lauren Boebert. Was at one time she and Sharona Bishop and Tina Peters, these people are like friends in Mesa
Yeah.
County. And Lauren Boebert, when all of this started going down with Tina, was I mean,
It's an advisor at
her
first.
silence was deafening.
Well, because she told Lauren Boebert, as I understand it, and maybe Ashkin, said, "No, you're doing the right thing, keep on going," and then boom, out of here.
And you were then tweeting too, hey, people who are saying yay for Lauren don't recognize everything. And to me, it's like, hey, we'll give credit where credit's due, but I don't think credit is due in this case. What do you say?
May 6th, 2025 is the first time that Lauren Boebert publicly posted about Tina Peters on either of her official accounts. Lauren Boebert was, as you mentioned, she was friends with that group. And the thing that I think is really interesting is that, according to Tina, Lauren Boebert was there the day that Conan took the images in Mesa County. They had dinner, and Lauren Boebert was at a dinner with Conan. It is not unreasonable to think that she would be considered a material witness, whether by the state or by Tina's defense. There's information there. That day is the act in question that, led to all of the felonies for misleading who was there. It's a pretty important day in the story of Tina Peters, and Lauren Boebert potentially has information. Now, whether that's material information to how the images were taken, or it's information about Tina's state of mind or her intentions, all things that Tina was not allowed to present in the
Right.
court because she wasn't allowed to make those arguments for herself. But Lauren Boebert's silence on this has been deafening for the entirety of Tina's crucible, going back to August of 2021, when her office was raided. She has It was March 21st, I believe, that she sent the letter to Kash Patel and the FBI, asking them to investigate whether Tina's civil rights had been violated. I feel pretty confident saying Tina's civil rights 100% were violated. She wrote that letter in March. She didn't mention it at the time. And the first mention of her publicly speaking out on behalf of Tina Peters, asking for her to be freed, et cetera, was May 6th of 2025. And that silence is a real problem for me.
But for me too, because she could have helped. There was a time when, well, there was a time, that time continues to this day. They say election deniers, right? The Douglas County clerk canceled an appearance at Parker Conservatives because election deniers were going to be there, right? I mean, it's still the left boogeyman, although a lot has been done to dispel it. But that's, I mean, going back in time, what was going on is Tina Peters was concerned about election integrity. And she just didn't like wake up in the middle of the night and decided to do all this. I mean, we've heard from people who seem to know what they're talking about. And Tina, I think herself, has indicated that Lauren Boebert was, I don't know what the right word would be, but was not unaware of some of the things that they were concerned about and that they were talking about doing. And whether she knew what and how specific, but she certainly, at any point in the past few years, could have come forward and said, "Hey, wait a minute. No, I know about Tina's state of mind. She's not an election denier. She's not a crazy person. These were her concerns." But nothing ever, ever, ever from her about this until all of a sudden it's safe. And all of a sudden now people like
Well, did
Tina.
you happen to listen to Jeff Hunt, who's on Alone, not with,
On KNUS.
on KNUS with Tina?
No,
I didn't hear
with
it.
Laura. Oh, you got it. Lauren
With
Boebert. I'm
Lauren
sorry,
Boebert.
Lauren Boebert. And
I'll find that.
he oh, you got to find that,
He's
yeah.
praising her.
As the stalwart person, who when everybody else deserted Tina, there was Lauren Boebert. Lauren Boebert has done an enormous job for her. She's a stalwart for, all these wonderful things. It goes on for, 20 or 30 minutes with Jeff Hunt just jumping up and down, praising Lauren Boebert for her
Did Lauren
tribute.
Boebert accept that and like
Accept it. You know Lauren Boebert? Did she accept it? Of course she accepted it. She augmented it. So yeah, I gave a letter also to Dan Bongino. That's what really started everything off.
It's despicable. It's despicable because there was a severe political cost for people that stood with Tina Peters, for people that stood for election integrity. In this state, if you stood for election integrity, you were punished. Still
Yes.
are, kind of. But for her to allow that praise to be heaped on her while it's fundamentally untrue, Lauren Boebert was on the side of Ken Buck when it came to our elections. And Ken Buck was out there telling us that we have the safest and most secure
Gold
gold
standard.
standard
Gold
elections in
standard.
the country. Yeah, so it's a lie. So if she's
Oh,
out,
yeah,
if
it's a
she's
lie.
accepting, if that's important for people to understand. If she's accepting that praise that she stood with Tina Peters and was a stalwart for election integrity in the state of Colorado, she is lying and should be called
No,
out about it because she was the
no.
opposite of that.
Right,
Well,
and
she
no
didn't
one.
just accept the praise. She heaped it on herself. It wasn't just accepting the
I
praise.
haven't seen this. I wish I'd seen this before it came
Well,
on.
you can go.
You'll
It's
throw
la
up. I
last
don't know.
last. It was last
Maybe,
week.
probably a little,
When you
Julie.
watch it, it was last week. Jeff was on by himself. Billy was out. It was like either Wednesday or maybe Thursday.
It was sort of the day after it all broke. Well, and again, to set the stage for people, because you're right. I mean, you yourself were persecuted, and
Oh
it
yeah.
paid a heavy price for it.
Yeah.
I know we had people, it was hard when you were standing up there being supportive of Tina Peters, and election integrity. You were trashed. I mean, people, it was hard, and it was, and Tina in particular, because we know she, because she showed us a letter at one point. She was offered that if she'll just take it all back, and if she'll say everything is hunky dory, they would everything would go away. And Tina refused to
Which
do
will
that.
become important. And a similar one about Al Turkey, which will come to later. The exact same thing happened to Al Turkey.
And anyway, what's interesting is that Tina Peters, I mean, so she's fighting this. She's standing by herself. And Lauren Boebert at that point is a congressperson. She could have helped. She could have, I mean, maybe, as you said, she could have maybe even helped with evidence, right? And I guess we'll never know. So I agree with you. I mean, I like the word you use. It's just despicable for all these people to suddenly jump on the bandwagon now. And I want to now turn, and I don't know, you may not have thoughts on this, but Heidi Genau. Same thing. Heidi Genau ignored this forever because it was politically difficult to talk about, right? And you don't want to risk
She had been
donors.
accused of being an election
She was
denier.
being an election denier. She was, had aspirations and ambitions too. And so you just, it's like, well, that's right. Tina Peters, just throw her in the dungeon, throw away the key,
And
as
now
long as.
Heidi is not claiming quite the central role that Lauren
Lauren.
Boebert is claiming, but she certainly, yeah, we've got to get, Tina Peters free T. I mean, it's almost more disgusting because let's face it. Lauren Boebert's white trash. She's always been white trash. The fact she's lying, deceiving, that's just her. I mean, she's not groping you. She's doing something else to you. But Heidi Genau likes to take the high moral ground, and this is the low moral ground.
Yeah, so back when we were canvassing with USCIP and in the run-up to the 2022 primary when Heidi was running for governor, she was asked about USCIP, and to her credit, she said she thought we did good work and refused to, and this was back when, Colorado Times Recorder and Nine News and all those guys were going at
Right.
us hard all the time, basically saying we were terrorists, right? And
Right.
to her credit, she supported us publicly. I don't really have a position on where she's at now. I think politics is messy and people do things for political expediency all the time. What I don't like is that there are a lot of people who I would call this trafficking. I believe there are people that are trafficking in Tina's story for their own
Yes.
personal gain, and I find that to be really despicable. We've seen people out raising money,
Right.
not for TinaPeters.us, which is the only place to donate for Tina Peters' legal defense. If anybody's telling you to donate to Tina Peters somewhere other than TinaPeters.us, they're grifting off of her name and trafficking her story, in my opinion. She's sitting in a jail cell, in a prison cell right now. She's been sentenced to 9 years for what was a show trial, and she did not
Right.
get a fair hearing. She was not allowed to bring the jury experience was so wholly controlled by the
Yes.
process and the judge to make sure that there was no other outcome than Tina being found guilty in the way that she was. I think the only other outcome they were going for was the identity theft charges. I don't think they wanted her to be acquitted on the identity theft charges, and they tried real hard to make sure that the jury didn't get any reasonable doubt information. That's not justice.
No.
The
Well, and then
court deciding that she's guilty and controlling the process in a way to deliver a guilty verdict is not justice.
His sentencing and the judge's sentencing. I mean, the statements, and I've covered a million, not a million, but a lot of sentences. And this was outrageous by any standard. I mean, he's the things he said, the way he talked about her and how dangerous she was and things like this. It's like it's insanity. And I think, to credit people like you just it's important that people, number one, stand up for the right thing when it's not popular or easy to stand up for the right thing. And I think it's also important, and that's what I wanted to talk to you to call people out when suddenly now that Donald Trump is supporting Tina Peters, it's like, oh, I support her too. And I
Yeah.
supported her all along. It's like, no, you didn't. It's like anyone can support Tina Peters after the Trump and the Justice Department. And, now you've got Charlie Kirk and all of these media
Yeah, it's
influencers,
safe
which is,
now.
yeah, that's great. But exactly. But where were all of those people? Maybe if they had showed up outside the courtroom, maybe if they had showed up at some of these rallies to support Tina, who knows? It might have made a
Well,
difference.
I'd love to
And
see what Jimmy Sengenberger is. He just, he's been
yeah.
saying Tina deserved what she got.
Yep.
She's a grandstander who wanted to be in prison because it's so much fun there. Where are his articles? And I know a popular radio show host said, we're not talking about Tina Peters. And you go, gee, why wouldn't we? You used to be able to talk about Tina Peters ad nauseum, but now, not so much.
There's a whole faction of Republicans in our state that really liked the story of Tina Peters because it let them put election deniers in a box and say,
Yes.
no, we don't want to go over there. And they adopted the left's position on Tina Peters really without doing any research.
Well, they didn't care.
Not following the stories, but following the headlines that came out from places like Nine News and, Colorado Newsline and Colorado Times Recorder, activist
Right
publications
there, and those are
that are driving a narrative.
George Soros funded things. Well, and
Yeah.
then although shame on the Denver Post, Krista Kafer had a column up. Krista Kafer, who remember tried to get Trump kicked off the ballot, and is now suddenly concerned about due process and says that Trump should interfere. It's like, what? Yeah, I mean, you look at what the where were all of her columns about all the nonsense the Biden administration pulled when they were persecuting you, right? Where were the columns then? It's like, nope, it's just now. It's like, you're right. And these people continued on one side or the other to kind of grift on Tina Peters, who meanwhile is sitting in
That's the one
prison.
thing they agreed about. It's one thing the Uniparty agreed about.
Yeah,
And that was that Tina Peters was awful, that
exactly.
those people who supported her were beyond the pale. And all.
And Gold standard elections.
That's
And a gold
right.
standard elections, that's right.
Well, we have to have
Yep.
gold standard elections because we don't want those
Yeah.
pesky grassroots caucus assembly people getting involved in our grant. I mean, and we need to pay our consultants a lot of money. Oh, and by the way, we all work worky worky with Dominion. So, you
God,
know.
yeah, I mean, God forbid the people should actually choose their representation. To me, we just talked about a whole bunch of people that are being disingenuous right now. But for me, for Lauren Boebert, it's worse because she's my congresswoman now. But at the time that all of this went down, she was Tina's. For some reason, she's just so valuable that she had to move districts and keep a
Right,
seat.
right.
Don't get me started on that. You guys know you guys know my reaction to that at the time. Chuck, I
Right.
think we talked on the phone about it. But the fact that she was in a position to help as Tina was having a whole of government persecution against her, state, federal, and local, all collaborating to ensure a guilty verdict, Lauren Boebert had information and experience. She was able to speak. She had a relationship with Tina. She was able to speak to her character and what her intentions were, and she was silent. And now she's, now it's the political calculus is different, and it
Right.
is politically expedient to support Tina Peters now. And I'm glad that everybody is supporting Tina Peters. I want her out of prison.
Right.
I want her to be free. And I think it's absolutely despicable that Jenna Griswold celebrated her first Mother's Day out walking free, breathing air, and Tina Peters is, having Mother's Day inside
Prison.
of prison. And if we're
Well,
talking
she
about
lost a
BIOS
vote for our
password
son, yeah.
breaches, BIOS password breaches, Jenna Griswold's was much worse. She also lied about it. It was a massive cover-up, but they investigated themselves and decided that it was fine.
I mean,
Well,
there's
are you saving up your money for the January 21st Rocky Mountain Voice Gala with Donald Trump Jr.?
no, Eric
Eric Trump.
Trump. Okay.
Eric Trump.
No.
You can get it's $200 for the cheap seats, and up to 2,500 will get you a photograph with
Eric Trump. No,
Eric
I'll tell you
Trump.
what I'm saving up my money for, Chuck. I'm saving up my money for legal fees to sue the shit out of everybody. Excuse me for my language on your show, but and that include and that includes the people. So one of the things about my case and Tina's case that overlaps is August of 2021. In August of 2021, the Colorado executive branch decided that they were going to go after Tina, me, Sean, Holly, Dallas, Merlin. They hatched a plan. We know this from discovery. We have this information. That's where we need to be focusing our efforts, is on remedying the harm that was done with the weaponization of government for political gain. And I do apologize for swearing on your show.
No, don't. That's what podcasts are for. Well, and you
That's
shouldn't.
right. That's what we live on.
After everything you've been through, that was fairly mild. And you're right. That's what. And hopefully, with the Justice Department, and I think you astutely point out, they're shuffling people around inside the Colorado Secretary of State executive area, and that's not just an accidental thing. Let me just.
Well, one other thing, if you're saving up your money for a lawyer, you better figure out, you better do some judge shopping to be able to find someone in Colorado that'll give you a fair trial.
Oh, there's.
I don't know where you'd find it.
I did win my trial,
You did. That's
Yeah,
right.
you did win
That's right. The judge
your
was good. Let me, and you may not know this, I want to answer it. Charlene is asking us, what about Sharona Bishop? This is my understanding. It could be totally wrong. I think at some point in there, Sharona Bishop, whose house was raided by the FBI as well, I get the impression that that somehow just what didn't go anywhere, which happens in FBI investigations sometimes. And that she and Lauren sort of parted ways. And I don't know, do you as but and I don't know that that has anything to
She
do.
fired Sharona Bishop once she won the primary and was headed for the general election.
So, and
She
I'm
was
talking.
told, you can't have that person as your campaign chief. And I forget who she picked up as the campaign chief, but that might have caused a little bit of a rift.
Yeah, I know that there's baggage between the two of them, Sharona and Lauren. I don't have any firsthand experience of it. Don't take a position on it. I generally look at the fruit of people's efforts, and I think we need to get Tina out.
Yep, exactly. Hey, Ash, thank you for let me give you as always the opportunity because you're all over the place. She did a radio show before this. She's got another radio show after this. Where can people?
Got a column coming up in
She's
the
got a
Chronicle.
column coming up in the Chronicle. She's solving world peace and hunger on Thursday. Hey, so where can people find you more?
All my stuff is at linktree.com/AshInAmerica. That's where the schedule is. I do a bunch of shows, a bunch of writing, lots of different places, as you mentioned. My next show is 9 p.m. tonight, Culture of Change. We'll be talking about the Casey Callie Means appointment, the Casey Means appointment, and the sort of blowback and drama of that. We're going to talk about the journey of Greta Thunberg and what it looks like to raise an MK Ultra asset. And should be a good time. That's on Badlands Media. But yeah, you can find all my stuff at linktree.com/AshInAmerica.
Linktree.com.
And if you want to support our legal fight to go on offense against these people, givesendgo.com/stopNGOlawfare.
All right. Yes.
There you
All right. Thank you so much.
go. Yay!
Appreciate it as always.
Thanks, guys.
See you later. Thank you for squeezing us
Bye-bye.
in. Hey, and Thomas, if you want to go ahead and call Tom Tancredi, we can switch gears. And yeah, I'm not sure. It can only be good news that Trump is saying that's investigated. And
Beyond that,
but
it's
beyond investigated, that's free her. So at some point, somebody looked at it and said, "Yeah, this is a case we should pursue, right?" And
how you pursue it is a difficult
well, ex yeah, exactly. But I think Trump, like you said, SEAL Team Six,
question.
by all means necessary.
Yeah.
But I hope they I hope that happens, and I hope it happens quickly. And again, great if Lauren Boebert and Heidi Genau are jumping on the bandwagon now, but I think it's important to say they were not on the bandwagon. I think when Tina was at her loneliest and needed
Well, I
help.
want to speak a thing about the June 21st. The Republican Party once a year has a centennial dinner, which is the biggest fundraiser, and it costs $200 to go to that. And this last time, they brought in Steve Bannon, Lauren Boebert, and the other three congressional congressmen, fought and tried to convince
Right, Bannon not to
not to
come.
do it. He came. The president, Britta Horn, did not come, but she held her own event next door.
And then complains about the money not being raised. It's like
Yeah,
it
and then
was.
she complained she didn't have enough money after she made every effort to make sure the money raised there, which all of it would have gone to her, wasn't as successful as it was. So that's the one. Now, Heidi's holding her own. June 21st, the Rocky Mountain Gala with Eric Trump. The money's not going to the Republican Party. The money is not going to candidates. It's going to Heidi Genau and her organization, Rocky Mountain Voice.
Well, and there was a bizarre, and we'll get to Tom Tancredi with this, a bizarre letter, I thought bizarre name, from Britterhorn, the new chair, talking about how, is it Gabe Evans? Somebody else is running, Yadira Caravero, but somebody else is running for Congress, again, another Democrat, and said, if you donate now to the congressional candidate, half the money will go to the Colorado Republican Party. And I'm like, what?
Why not give it all?
Well, yeah, because why don't call Americans for Prosperity? They have plenty of
Yeah, they
money.
don't need any money.
I mean, that Gabe Evans, does not need my $20. He's got Americans for Prosperity. Hey, we're switching gears here totally.
Switching.
And we've got Tom Tancredo, former Congressman Tom Tancredo, with us. Tom, hey, first off, thank you. Appreciate your time on this Monday morning, or Monday morning, Monday
Oh,
afternoon.
listen, now I always enjoy it. I always enjoy being on your show. And if I got a call from the state Republican Party that said, we're having a big fundraiser for X, whoever that might be, but we're going to take half, I would immediately discard the email and
Yes.
say, I'm not sending you a damn dime. Are you kidding me? Oh my God. Anyway, other stuff.
Talk this blast from the past. It's sometimes funny how, I wouldn't be surprised if JonBenet comes up next week. Hey, and Thomas, our producer, if you want to make Tom Tancredo a little bit louder. So Tom worked on this, I worked on this years and what, almost 20 years ago, a Saudi national by the name of Imad al-Turki was being investigated by the Joint Terrorism Task Force. In the process of that investigation, they never could get enough to find anything out about him on the terrorism, although he did come up in some of the 9/11 documents later on.
Very tangential.
So they arrested him on he was keeping enslaving an Indonesian maid and was molesting her. He was tried and convicted, and all of that. And we can talk about later because Chuck has some thoughts on that. To me, though, what's fun about this was all of
Fun.
fun in terms of this guy is embroiled in like every unsolved murder in Colorado practically. So Tom Tancredo was involved, the AG's office was involved, John Hickenlooper was involved, Bill Ritter was involved. This guy is tied, not tangentially, but I think directly to the murder, the still unsolved murder of the Department of Corrections Chief Tom Clements. I mean, the story is was almost mind-boggling. A Denver DA was murdered by the wrong guy murdered. But to walk us back, Tom, because you were kind of involved. So this guy is arrested. The Saudis freak out, understandably, and all of a sudden, John Southers is being sent back and forth to explain American law to the Saudis, and
Like they need Southers to explain
but.
it to them.
Because the Saudis have been trying for 20 years to get this guy released, and they finally did it, and I got some suspicions on what happened there. But talk about your role kind of at the very beginning, and then we can kind of go through
Blame you for all of it.
the bizarreness of this whole thing.
Well, my role was simple. I simply did what you guys wanted me to do.
There you go.
Thank
I
God.
simply
Well, there you go. I guess you are guilty then.
Next question? No. Just kidding with you. The fact is that my chief of staff came to me one day and said, you know, there's this crazy thing happening in Aurora where the governor is trying to get this guy free after he's been convicted of keeping this sex slave in his basement. And he had apparently some ties to, and again, I don't know how direct they were, but he did come up in a certain number of documents, his name did, to terrorist organizations. And so we wrote a letter to the governor at that time and said, what the hell are you doing? Aren't you crazy? I mean, why are you doing this? And why are you sending Southers to Saudi Arabia to placate these Saudi princes? What's the deal? And who's paying for that? And we had a lot of questions. Anyway, and you did too, if I'm not mistaken, that you, certainly we
Right.
were not the only ones that raised these issues. And the governor was about to actually release him.
Right.
But all of a sudden, the FBI comes in, talks to the governor, and says, no, can't do it. This guy is on terrorist watch list. He's a nasty guy, blah, 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 blah. And so the governor backs away, and so does Clemens. After Clemens essentially promised he was going to
Right.
release him, which is what caused a lot of questions to be raised when all of a sudden a guy who was a skinhead, and you think, well, what the hell's he got to do with this whole thing? Well, it turns out he was, well, I got to back up a minute. It turns out also that Al Turki was paying a bunch of skinheads in prison to quote protect him.
Right.
Now, we don't know whether that was the purpose of the payola that was going on, but he was paying skinheads. And one of these skinheads said he got out by a complete, oh my God,
Yeah, I mean, people, you
it
can't believe this story, can you?
was, and his name is even
no.
Evan,
Yeah,
you, that's right.
Evan Ebel, right? He gets out because they mistook the word concurrent for what
Consecutive.
consecutive, right? And so they let him out, and he's a convicted killer, murderer, a skinhead, creep, but they let him out. Now he's out roaming around and doing the bidding, apparently, of his masters who were still in prison, the head of the skinhead gang. Why they wanted him to kill the head of the Department of Corrections, Tom Clements, I do not know, except you have to surmise a couple of things. All of this happened at subsequent to their requests for letting him out being denied. And so, the thought is that they were paying back. They're going to kill Clemens. They were going to kill the governor. They were going because he was on the list. Remember?
They had a whole hit list. Evan Ebel, because he ended up dying in a shootout with Texas after he shoots Tom Clements, kills a pizza guy here in Aurora.
And the pizza guy is very well. He kills the pizza guy for his uniform, which is a bit extreme. You know, couldn't you hold him up and get his uniform without killing him? But he doesn't. He kills him, gets his uniform, and drives up to Clemens' house as a pizza delivery guy, opens the door, and he kills him. The reason why it's important is because that's how the government got into his place.
Into El Turkey's place.
They pretended they're a delivery person, got in, saw the quote-unquote slave. And yes, that's what a prosecutor does. He announces somebody's domestic servant, and then he just changes it. Oh, let's call her a slave. And since then, she's been a slave.
But she did. And now initially, she goes, no, nothing's wrong. Then she claimed a lot of things happened that were definitely falling into the category of sex slave. She did lots of things.
They didn't have intercourse. And they didn't. Okay. They charged her with masturbating. I know, because I looked at the case. He was accused of fingering her. He was accused of masturbating on top of her chest. He was not accused of having intercourse.
Okay, but the thing is, though, with all of that aside,
to back up,
so what happened is that people need to understand, because Evan Ebel, there's so many connections here.
And wait, let me get one more thing about Evan Ebel. Evan Ebel may have been a skidhead. He was actually the son of a fairly prominent attorney and who was a...
Jack Ebel,
who was a good friend of Hickenlooper's. So he's kind of a strange skinhead.
Was a 211 crew, and he was giving money. Jack Ebel was a 211 crew. So to back up,
and he also went crazy in prison when they stuck him in solitary confinement for huge periods of time.
So, I don't know if Hickenlooper's just an idiot, and to me, it still is astonishing that this doesn't come up more in Hickenlooper's, because no one wants to go there.
Yeah.
So Hickenlooper. The Saudis call him up and they're like, hey, we want our guy released. Hickenlooper was okay. So he and his then, I think, chief of staff, Jack Finlaw, they basically arrange it. Now, they don't tell anybody, although I don't know that they knew it was going to create such a stir. And as I understand it, it's like the party is set in Saudi Arabia, right? They're just going to send him back.
Got the balloons already.
Everybody found out about it. George Brockler is now the DA in Arapahoe County. He finds out about it, hits a roof and says, what? And then, as you say,
and
the FBI calls.
Hated the heck sex crime. So she's a defender of women. So she went bonkers.
And so they end up, like you said, at the last minute, yanking him.
The team, which has to be assembled on our side to get him there, right? And to be a three-person team, they have to do all these. That team was assembled. They were ready to go. They were essentially at the airport. Everybody was on go.
Exactly. And so they were, and so this is where, and now Mark Poffo fills in for us a little bit. He was loosely involved. Well, I guess more than loosely. So, and Tom, because you can talk a little bit about the Department of Correction, because I know you have talked, or at least have some information about people there. So what happens is this 211 crew, as the investigation into the murder of Tom Clements, what happens is you've got the Department of Corrections kind of going one way, and the CBI kind of going another way, and El Paso County kind of going every which way, because you had members of the 211 crew say that, they were asked to kill Tom Clements. And so they ordered the hit, and they ordered Evan Ebel, who was, making his phone, so to speak, to go kill Tom Clements. And he said, okay. And somehow or another, that goes away. It's like, everyone's like, oh, open investigation. We can't talk. I mean, they've got these people. You know, Mark Poff, I think, has indicated he and John St. Augustine feel fairly clear. And I think they don't know anything about El Turkey so much, but they said the 211 crew ordered Evan Ebel to hit Tom Clements. And you got to ask yourself, why would they want to do that? They didn't care.
Well, they also ordered, reportedly, another killing of a prosecutor, which is the killing of
Dan May,
because he had a name similar to the Arapahoe County.
To the El Paso County DA.
But who worked in Arapahoe County, was assigned to work in Arapahoe County. And they just killed. And
they killed the wrong Dan May.
Yeah, as you do.
They killed the wrong Dan May.
Yeah.
Which is why El Paso County, now where Dan May is there.
The real Dan May.
They want to draw their attention. I mean, there's to this day, it astonishes me that there are not more people saying, like, who killed Tom Clements? I mean, we have all these people saying, we did, you know, and no one seems to care. And Hickenlooper is senator, you know?
And I still have the, well, I don't know if I still have the tape. Tom Bjorklund had it where he was up speaking in Grand Junction, Hickenlooper, right? Running. And Tom Bjorklund, this friend of mine, he was my chairman. I mean, he's been on every one of my campaigns to get me out of jail all these years because he was my treasurer. And anyway, he gets up and asks Hickenlooper, he said, you know, what do you think about this? He said, you know, Clemens was your, not just an appointee, they were great friends. They were very tight. And he said, you know, what are you going to do about this? And about the fact that this guy's going to try to get out and everything. And Hickenlooper goes into you just couldn't believe it. You'd almost have to hear it because it made no sense. It was almost like, it's almost either Biden or Kamala talking.
Everybody acknowledges that he was drunk. It was when he was having a bottle problem.
Yeah, well, he was having a lot of, like I say, Kamala especially, right? It made no sense. He was scared to death. You could tell he was scared. He was actually scared.
Right.
There's all kinds of questions we still have not answered for me anyway.
One, I'm not going to.
All right, go ahead.
That's right. We're probably, he's on his way. He's right. He's winging his way to Saudi Arabia. But the headline I read on one of the things was Saudi or Al Turkey is partner. Let's see. He's paroled. And the basis of the parole is his willingness to go back to Saudi Arabia. Well, what do you mean willingness? He's been asking to go back to Saudi Arabia since the day.
For 20 years, a fifth of a century.
That's right. He's been saying, let me go. I want to spend the rest of my time in my
own. And
don't forget, the Saudis are going, yeah, there's nothing wrong. Keeping a sex slave is like keeping a pet over here. Remember? They actually said that.
No, they did. I covered some of the trial. They're like, what? We don't do the problem. Well, no, and you're right. And he was, and now he's not anymore. But, you know, over the years, I kept track of this. The Free Al Turkey, it's still huge in Saudi Arabia. And I wanted to ask you this. And again, to me, the kind of the bigger underlying thing is you have this Saudi national who was, through him, runs the unsolved murder of a Denver DA, which you'd think, I mean, they have people there saying, hey, we know what happened. I can tell you I wrote a letter, and they're like, nope, we're busy. We're too busy. Don't want to investigate it. And Tom Clements murder, like, nope, John Hickenlooper, don't want to investigate it.
That's over.
It's over.
Except we can't give you any information because it's an ongoing investigation.
And the poor Alan Leon, the poor, I always feel
he's
so sorry for this guy.
Right.
He's got two jobs. He's trying to support his family. And apparently a great kid, a wife and a couple of one or two kids. I don't remember. But anyway, he's just delivering pizza and he gets whacked and nobody gives a damn. Nobody cares about
him. Where's the uniform? Where's the uniform?
Call the Denver, I would call the Denver cops and I'd call up in Adams County and saying, are you guys, you know, all of these 211 crew members and these inmates, and I think there were Department of Corrections officers who I think probably had some information too. It's like, are you ever going to talk to any of these people? They're like, nope, it's open investigation, Julie. We can't comment on it. It's
And where the hell was all the money coming from going to Al Turkey to pay his his protection?
The night that Tom Clements is murdered, yeah, Al Turkey had the largest, I guess, kitty pot for prison. I think tens of thousands of dollars. The night that Tom Clements was murdered, Al Turkey bought, I'm not making this up, pizza for the entire prison.
For
the entire wing or pod that he was in, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be the guy that delivered it. As you said.
No. Do you think, you know, and it to this day, it just astonishes me. And none of the reports mentioned this, right? None of them mentioned the Hickenlooper connection. None of them mentioned the fact that corrupt, I'm going to call them corrupt investigators, are just willing to let these murders go, right? And we don't want to, you know, trouble John Hickenlooper with it anymore. We don't want to
ask any of his.
You know.
And 5280, that piece of crap magazine, writes a 10,000-word puff piece about it all, saying, oh, poor guy, all the things that have happened to him. And you know, again, not a word about any of these, never mentioned the trip to Saudi Arabia by Southers. Never mentioned all this money. Where was it coming from? How did he get it? Why was he paying them? None of that was in there. That was all just, oh my gosh, this poor guy. He's about time that he's been able. Now he's going to be able to go home and be treated like he should have been all these years. But, oh, dear God.
Trouble is, here's the trouble. Mike Rebow said, he kind of spilled the beans on it. He said, look, Al Turkey, we thought, maybe had some connections. One of 25 people that they went after, according to instructions from the DOJ. And he opened the door, talked to him, everything else. And they figure, well, let's squeeze him. Maybe he can become an informant for us. And they offer him, look, you plead guilty to this and you get a parole and you get nothing else. And he says, no. I don't want to do that. So then, according to Rebow, they cook up the sex part. So let's throw sex in this. Let's make her a sex slave and get her. We'll put her under this screws so she'll testify he did these things to her. And the minute the trial was over, she absconded and got out and went back to Indonesia.
Yeah.
So they're all happy that they crooked the courts for another conviction. And Julie believes the government, whatever they say. It's an utter miscarriage of justice. It really is. Al Turkey did not deserve to spend 25 years in prison.
And do you have any sense, Tom? Because Azar came out after it was done, right? He was the news came out after it was done. And so I kind of figure the Saudis, every time, I think governors come around and I don't know, this would have to have been, I don't know. What do you think? Was it Trump? Or I guess what do you think finally made this happen? Do you have any sense?
No, I don't. And it certainly wasn't because he agreed to go back to Saudi Arabia. The way they printed it. Okay, he agreed. Now we'll let him out after 25 years.
Then they say, we can't really retry him because we really never had a case anyway, and it didn't really matter. And our main person who we threatened within an inch of her life, she's away. So we have no evidence other than the ones we manufactured. So let him go. I go, okay, yeah. Your other trial is a joke. And so you can't do another joke.
At some point, though, I wonder if John Hickenlooper ever late at night.
One of the many things he regrets.
Said, I really messed that up. And because I truly believe that people actively to this day are interfering with getting to the bottom of what happened and why. And I just wonder
I think so too. And, you may be right that it was all concocted. It was all just whatever that you think. But I'm telling you, there's more to it than just that, I think. And I think so simply because...
Oh, there is something to it.
Wait, let him finish.
Why did you have to kill Tom Clancy? Why did they have to kill him? Why did they order Evan Ebel to kill this guy? Because they were getting paid. Who was paying them?
Right.
Well, I think I know. I think I think the Saudis were essentially paying the 211 gang. Now, why were they paying him? Well, they were paying him because of what happened to their buddy, Al Turkey. So, maybe Al Turkey never did any of these things, but I'll tell you, I think Clemens got whacked and May and the other ones would have had they not killed him in Texas. And I think so. And I think it was connected to the Saudis and to Al Turkey. I don't know how much.
Yeah,
No,
I
I
agree
agree.
with that.
Nope,
I agree
I
with
agree
that.
with you absolutely on that. Absolutely. Hey, listen, Tom, we're out of time. We'll
We can go with this for days.
Yeah, this story goes for days. Thank you for your
Oh my
time.
God.
Thank you for helping straighten it out. That's amazing.
We're totally, the audience goes, I got it all. I know exactly what happened.
Thank you, Tom.
It's Al Turkey Saga is what it is. Okay. Hope
Exactly.
it's over with.
All right,
Take
thank
care,
you. Have
Tom.
a great day.
You too, guys.
Yeah, and we may talk more. I think my friend Maureen and I always said we need to write a book about that, because I think a lot of people got away with a lot of things in that case.
Not a lot of people, yeah.
Hey, that's going to wrap it up for us today. On Wednesday, we're going to have Darcy Shaining on. She fought hard for a lot of parental rights bills and things like that, which of course the Democrats
Yeah.
just blew up. But anyway, she's going to come join us talking about the end of the session. The only other thing I wanted to say, this is I think a good thing. We'll end on this because this is also good news.
Okay.
Because I have a new car. And that stupid where it turns off every time you come to a stoplight, right? And your stupid car turns off and then it comes back on. Lee Zeldin said the EPA is gonna, they can get rid of that now. I'm like, yes.
Yay. That's it. If you don't know what she's talking about,
Oh,
don't worry about it.
hey, we'll see everybody on Wednesday.